worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. This is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the events that must soon take place. He sent an angel to present this revelation to his servant John, who faithfully reported everything he saw. This is his report of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church, and he blesses all who listen to its message and obey what it says, for the time is near. This letter is from John to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, from the sevenfold Spirit before his throne, and from Jesus Christ. He is the faithful witness to these things, the first to rise from the dead, and the ruler of all the kings of the and the ruler of all the kings of the world. All glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. He has made us a kingdom of priests for God his Father. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Look, he comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him. All the nations of the world will mourn for him. Yes, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I'm the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One. I, John, am your brother and your partner in suffering and in God's kingdom and in the patient endurance to which Jesus calls us. I was exiled to the island of Patmos for preaching the word of God and for my testimony about Jesus. It was the Lord's day, and I was worshiping in the Spirit. Suddenly I heard behind me a loud voice, like a trumpet blast. It said, "Write in a book everything you see and send it to the seven churches in the cities of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." When I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven gold lampstands, and standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. He held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth. And his face was like the sun in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, "Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave. Write down what you have seen, both the things that are now happening and the things that will happen. This is the meaning of the mystery of the seven stars you saw in my right hand and the seven gold lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." All of Revelation chapter 1. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all of your word, and we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful and the powerful and the magnificent message of the book of Revelation. And thank you for the insight, the wisdom, the counsel that it shares with us. And thank you for the many ways it touches us and prepares us for the fact that you're coming back soon. Father, stir us as a church to rise up and be the church you'd have us to be in these last days. Help us to be the church that the church that's full of your love and mercy that you'd have us to be. Help us to be the evangelizing and discipling church. Help us to be the church that's about your business every day of our lives, faithfully and in the power of your Holy Spirit daily. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for Jesus and all that Jesus has done. Thank you so much that in Jesus we can approach your throne in confidence. And thank you that in Jesus we have new identities that we can follow in your ways and in your will. Father, I ask that you'd grow a hunger in our hearts so that we could search out more of your ways and more of your will, so that we could want to be more like you. Father, I ask that we'd leave our sins and our fleshly desires behind, and that we'd only focus on the ways of your kingdom. Thank you so much, Father, for your grace and for your mercy. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We've had a good many people that have emailed us to get a copy of our prayer tool that we call Kingdom Prayers, which has about 12 or 13 or so Bible-based prayers that we're encouraging you to take time to pray on a daily basis. One of those is Psalm 91. And, of course, remember, one of many reasons why it's very wise for every believer to pray it daily over yourself and over your family is because we live in a crazy, dangerous world that's dangerous in so many ways and from so many different directions. But we serve a Heavenly Father that is well able to protect us and to bless us spiritually in our physical health and otherwise, as we're wise enough to utilize a wonderful weapon like Psalm 91. So on an ongoing basis, we want to encourage you, if you're not praying it every day, that you'll start as of today to pray Psalm 91 daily over yourself and over your family. I'm going to take time now to share an article by the title, Are You Praying Psalm 91 Every Day? Psalm 91 verses 1 and 2, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Psalm 91 verses 1 and 2. Are you making it a priority to pray Psalm 91 every single day? If not, why not? A common response to this question may be, well, I'm not a fanatic and I don't see a need to pray this particular scripture every day. If that's you, I believe you'd be wise to change your mind and begin to pray this prayer exactly every day. We live in a crazy, dangerous world that includes spiritual warfare raging everywhere you go. We who are followers of Christ need to be warrior-minded in our approach to how we follow Christ and how we live for Christ in this dangerous world. In times of war, you look at, perceive, and plan everything in your life very differently in almost every way than you would during peacetime. Your whole perspective needs to be different. Certain priorities are critical every day because you are at war and you're living life on a battlefield. Not being alert, making unwise decisions, moving without a sense of urgency, any and all of these actions in war can literally cause someone to get killed. Psalm 91 is a unique weapon in Scripture that addresses many of the perils in life that any believer can face on any given day. Using this weapon daily helps us to be prepared for many of the attacks our enemy, the devil, may utilize consistently. Praying Psalm 91 daily helps us to mobilize the Holy Spirit and the angels of God to protect us and work on our behalf. Know this, in the dangerous and difficult world we live in, no one or nothing can protect you like God can. Make it a priority to pray Psalm 91 absolutely every day of your life. Here's Psalm 91. Let's take time to pray it even now. Thank you, Lord, for every believer and every person that's a part of our listening family today. And thank you for all those who we've lifted up in prayer today. Thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy, and your love. Lord, today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress. Our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side, and 10,000 at our right hand. But it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. We trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And again, our encouragement is if you're not praying Psalm 91 every day, today is a great day to start that very wise, fruitful, and important habit for you and for your family. And if you'd like to get a copy of the article, this article is entitled, Are You Praying Psalm 91 Every Day? And of course, it does have the prayer found within the printed article. So simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Now, another one of the prayers that's found in the Kingdom Prayers prayer tool, of course, is the prayer of Jabez. That's a very wise prayer to pray daily, especially for a believer that desires to be used more and more mightily of the Lord every single day. Thank you, Lord, again, for all those that are part of our listening family. And thank you, again, for all those that we've lifted up in prayer today. Thank you for each and every one of us today, Lord Father. Thank you for each of us. Bless each and every one of us this day, Father. Indeed, expand each of our territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon each one of us. Keep each one of us from evil that we may not cause pain. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And I finally want to mention in this segment, once again, I mean, we're encouraging you to pray the Ten Commandments every single day. And again, yes, this prayer is also found within amongst the Kingdom Prayers in the Kingdom Prayers prayer tool. Praying Psalm 91 is very strategic, and we're encouraging you to pray it for yourself, for your family, for the church, and for the nation as well. And remember, some of the biggest challenges and problems we face in our world are a result of people violating the guidance and the direction of the Ten Commandments. So we're wise to pray it again for ourselves and our church and the nation as a whole. Thank you, Lord, again, for all those that are part of our listening family and all those we've lifted up in prayer today. And thank you for your hand of grace upon each and every one of us. And thank you for the privilege of praying to you today and every day. Lord, today, help us this day to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. And help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And let me say to every parent listening too, we're wise again to, on a daily basis, bring our families together, including our children, have them participate in the prayer, let them lead the prayer sometimes, but teach them why it's important for us to be praying. And also that, again, remember, in this world, when we are wise enough to give ourselves to prayer, we serve a Heavenly Father that's more than able to answer His prayer. And when we pray according to the Word of God, we can know that He does hear and will answer our prayers well, as the Word of God lets us know. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. If you'd like to get a copy of the Kingdom Prayers prayer tool, simply email us, joseph@afr.net, or the article we shared, Are You Praying Psalm 91 Every Day? That article as well. Same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be right back.
Can I beat this? Can I crack this surface into the deepness? this heart of mine, it's you. It's you, Lord, it's you. Then everything else just falls in line.
The music of Toby Mac with It's You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the book of 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. So Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to David, his father. The temple was built on the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite, the site that David had selected. The construction began in mid-spring during the fourth year of Solomon's reign. These are the dimensions Solomon used for the foundation of the temple of God using the old standard of measurement. It was 90 feet long and 30 feet wide. The entry room at the front of the temple was 30 feet wide, running across the entire width of the temple, and 30 feet high. He overlaid the inside with pure gold. He paneled the main room of the temple with cypress wood, overlaid with fine gold, and decorated it with carvings of palm trees and chains. He decorated the walls of the temple with beautiful jewels and with gold from the land of Parvaim. He overlaid the beams, thresholds, walls, and doors throughout the temple with gold, and he carved figures of cherubim on the walls. He made the most holy place 30 feet wide, corresponding to the width of the temple, and 30 feet deep. He overlaid its interior with 23 tons of fine gold. The gold nails that were used weighed 20 ounces each. He also overlaid the walls of the upper rooms with gold. He made two figures shaped like cherubim, overlaid them with gold, and placed them in the most holy place. The total wingspan of the two cherubim standing side by side was 30 feet. One wing of the first figure was 7.5 feet long, and it touched the temple wall. The other wing, also 7.5 feet long, touched one of the wings of the second figure. In the same way, the second figure had one wing, 7.5 feet long, that touched the opposite wall. The other wing, also 7.5 feet long, touched the wing of the first figure. So the wingspan of the two cherubim side by side was 30 feet. They stood on their feet and faced out toward the main room of the temple. Across the entrance of the most holy place, he hung a curtain made of fine linen, decorated with blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and embroidered with figures of cherubim. For the front of the temple, he made two pillars that were 27 feet tall, each topped by a capital extending upward another 7.5 feet. He made a network of interwoven chains and used them to decorate the tops of the pillars. He also made 100 decorative pomegranates and attached them to the chains. Then he set up the two pillars at the entrance of the temple, one to the south of the entrance and the other to the north. He named the one on the south Jachin and the one on the north Boaz. 2 Chronicles chapter 4. Solomon also made a bronze altar 30 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 15 feet high. Then he cast a great round basin, 15 feet across from rim to rim, called the sea. It was 7.5 feet deep and about 45 feet in circumference. It was encircled just below its rim by two rows of figures that resembled oxen. There were about 6 oxen per foot all the way around, and they were cast as part of the basin. The sea was placed on a base of 12 bronze oxen, all facing outward. 3 faced north, 3 faced west, 3 faced south, and 3 faced east. And 3 faced east, and the sea rested on them. The walls of the sea were about 3 inches thick, and its rim flared out like a cup and resembled a water lily blossom. It could hold about 16,500 gallons of water. He also made 10 smaller basins for washing the utensils for the burnt offerings. He set 5 on the south side and 5 on the north, but the priests washed themselves in the sea. He then cast 10 gold lampstands according to the specifications that had been given, and he put them in the temple. 5 were placed against the south wall, and 5 were placed against the north wall. He also built 10 tables and placed them in the temple, 5 along the south wall and 5 along the north wall. Then he molded 100 golden basins. He then built a courtyard for the priests and also the large outer courtyard. He made doors for the courtyard entrances and overlaid them with bronze. The great bronze basin, called the sea, was placed near the southeast corner of the temple. Haram Abai also made the necessary wash basins, shovels, and bowls. So at last, Haram Abai completed everything King Solomon had assigned him to make for the temple of God. The 2 pillars, the 2 bowl-shaped capitals on top of the pillars, the 2 networks of interwoven chains that decorated the capitals, the 400 pomegranates that hung from the chains on the capitals, 2 rows of pomegranates for each of the chain networks that decorated the capitals on top of the pillars, the water carts holding the basins, the sea and the 12 oxen under it, the ash buckets, the shovels, the meat hooks, and all the related articles. Haram Abai made all these things of burnished bronze for the temple of the Lord, just as King Solomon had directed. The king had them cast in clay molds in the Jordan Valley between Succoth and Zarethan. Solomon used such great quantities of bronze that its weight could not be determined. Solomon also made all the furnishings for the temple of God: the gold altar, the tables for the bread of the presence, the lampstands and their lamps of solid gold to burn in front of the most holy place as prescribed, the flower decorations, lamps and tongs, all of the purest gold, the lamp snuffers, bowls, ladles, and incense burners, all of solid gold, the doors for the entrances to the most holy place, and the main room of the temple overlaid with gold. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. So Solomon finished all his work on the temple of the Lord. Then he brought all the gifts his father David had dedicated, the silver, the gold, and the various articles, and he stored them in the treasuries of the temple of God. Solomon then summoned to Jerusalem the elders of Israel and all the heads of tribes, the leaders of the ancestral families of Israel. They were to bring the Ark of the Lord's Covenant to the temple from its location in the city of David, also known as Zion. So all the men of Israel assembled before the king at the annual festival of shelters, which is held in early autumn. When all the elders of Israel arrived, the Levites picked up the ark. The priests and Levites brought up the ark along with the special tent and all the sacred items that had been in it. There, before the ark, King Solomon and the entire community of Israel sacrificed so many sheep, goats, and cattle that no one could keep count. Then the priests carried the Ark of the Lord's Covenant into the inner sanctuary of the temple, the most holy place, and placed it beneath the wings of the cherubim. The cherubim spread their wings over the Ark, forming a canopy over the Ark and its carrying poles. These poles were also so long that their ends could be seen from the holy place, which is in front of the most holy place, but not from the outside. They are still there to this day. Nothing was in the ark except the two stone tablets that Moses had placed in it at Mount Sinai, where the Lord made a covenant with the people of Israel when they left Egypt. Then the priests left the holy place. All the priests who were present had purified themselves, whether or not they were on duty that day. And the Levites, who were musicians, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and all their sons and brothers, were dressed in fine linen robes and stood at the east side of the altar playing cymbals, lyres, and harps. They were joined by 120 priests who were playing trumpets. The trumpets and singers performed together in unison to praise and give thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices and praised the Lord with these words: "He is good. His faithful love endures forever." At that moment, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priests could not continue their service because of the cloud, for the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Then Solomon prayed, "O Lord, you have said that you would live in a thick cloud of darkness. Now I have built a glorious temple for you, a place where you can live forever." Then the king turned around to the entire community of Israel standing before him and gave this blessing: "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who has kept the promise he made to my father David. For he told my father, 'From the day I brought my people out of the land of Egypt, I have never chosen a city among any of the tribes of Israel as the place where a temple should be built to honor my name, nor have I chosen a king to lead my people Israel. But now I have chosen Jerusalem as the place for my name to be honored, and I have chosen David to be king over my people Israel.'" Then Solomon said, "My father David wanted to build this temple to honor the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord told him, 'You wanted to build the temple to honor my name. Your intention is good, but you are not the one to do it. One of your own sons will build the temple to honor me.' And now the Lord has fulfilled the promise he made, for I have become king in my father's place, and now I sit on the throne of Israel, just as the Lord promised. I built this temple to honor the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. There I have placed the ark, which contains the covenant that the Lord made with the people of Israel. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the entire community of Israel, and he lifted his hands in prayer. Now Solomon had made a bronze platform 7.5 feet long, 7.5 feet wide, and 4.5 feet high, and had placed it at the center of the temple's outer courtyard. He stood on the platform, and then he knelt in front of the entire community of Israel and lifted his hands toward heaven. He prayed, "O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in all of heaven and earth." You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God. Again, that was 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 1 to 12. We'll be right back. Music from Elevation Worship with Oh Sing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue reading through the Word of God as we pick up in the New Testament, 2 John, beginning at verse 1. This letter is from John the Elder. I'm writing to the chosen lady and to her children, whom I love in the truth, as does everyone else who knows the truth, because the truth lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace, which comes from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, will continue to be with us who live in truth and love. How happy I was to meet some of your children and find them living according to the truth, just as the Father commanded. I'm writing to remind you, dear friends, that we should love one another. This is not a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning. Love means doing what God has commanded us, and He has commanded us to love one another, just as you heard from the beginning. I say this because many deceivers have gone out into the world. They deny that Jesus Christ came in a real body. Such a person is a deceiver and an antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked so hard to achieve. Be diligent so that you receive your full reward. Anyone who wanders away from this teaching has no relationship with God, but anyone who remains in the teaching of Christ has a relationship with both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to your meeting and does not teach the truth about Christ, don't invite that person into your home or give any kind of encouragement. Anyone who encourages such people becomes a partner in their evil work. I have much more to say to you, but I don't want to do it with paper and ink. For I hope to visit you soon and talk with you face to face. Then our joy will be complete. Greetings from the children of your sister, chosen by God. This letter is from John the Elder. I'm writing to Gaius, my dear friend, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. Some of the traveling teachers recently returned and made me very happy by telling me about your faithfulness and that you are living according to the truth. I could have no greater joy than to hear that my children are following the truth. Dear friends, you are being faithful to God when you care for the traveling teachers who pass through, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church here of your loving friendship. Please continue providing for such teachers in a manner that pleases God, for they are traveling for the Lord, and they accept nothing from people who are not believers. So we ourselves should support them so that we can be their partners as they teach the truth. I wrote to the church about this, but Diotrephes, who loves to be the leader, refuses to have anything to do with us. When I come, I will report some of the things he is doing and the evil accusations he is making against us. Not only does he refuse to welcome the traveling teachers, he also tells others not to help them. And when they do help, he puts them out of the church. Dear friend, don't let this bad example influence you. Follow only what is good. Remember that those who do good prove that they are God's children, and those who do evil prove that they do not know God. Everyone speaks highly of Demetrius, as does the truth itself. We ourselves can say the same for him, and you know we speak the truth. I have much more to say to you, but I don't want to write it with pen and ink. For I hope to see you soon, and then we will talk face to face. Peace be with you. Your friends here send you their greetings. Please give my personal greetings to each of our friends there. The Book of Jude. This letter is from Jude, a slave of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. I'm writing to all who have been called by God the Father, who loves you and keeps you safe in the care of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more mercy, peace, and love. Dear friends, I have been eagerly planning to write to you about the salvation we all share. But now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all time to his holy people. I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. The condemnation of such people was recorded long ago, for they have denied our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. So I want to remind you, though you already know these things, that Jesus first rescued the nation of Israel from Egypt, but later he destroyed those who did not remain faithful. And I remind you of the angel who did not stay within the limits of authority God gave them, but left the place where they belonged. God has kept them securely chained in prisons of darkness, waiting for the great day of judgment. And don't forget Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring towns, which were filled with immorality and every kind of sexual perversion. Those cities were destroyed by fire and serve as a warning of the eternal fire of God's judgment. In the same way, these people who claim authority from their dreams live immoral lives, defy authority, and scoff at supernatural beings. But even Michael, one of the mightiest of the angels, did not dare accuse the devil of blasphemy, but simply said, "The Lord rebuke you." This took place when Michael was arguing with the devil about Moses' body. But these people scoff at things they do not understand. Like unthinking animals, they do whatever their instincts tell them, and so they bring about their own destruction. What sorrow awaits them? For they follow in the footsteps of Cain, who killed his brother. Like Balaam, they deceive people for money. And like Korah, they perish in their rebellion. When these people eat with you in your fellowship meals, commemorating the Lord's love, they are like dangerous reefs that can shipwreck you. They are like shameless shepherds who care only for themselves. They are like clouds blowing over the land without giving any rain. They are like trees in autumn that are doubly dead, for they bear no fruit and have been pulled up by the roots. They are like wild waves of the sea, churning up the foam of their shameful deeds. They are like wandering stars, doomed forever to blackest darkness. Enoch, who lived in the seventh generation after Adam, prophesied about these people. He said, "Listen, the Lord is coming with countless thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment on the people of the world. He will convict every person of all the ungodly things they have done and for all the insults that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These people are grumblers and complainers, living only to satisfy their desires. They brag loudly about themselves and they flatter others to get what they want. But you, my dear friends, must remember what the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ predicted. They told you that in the last times there would be scoffers whose purpose in life is to satisfy their ungodly desires. These people are the ones who are creating divisions among you. They follow their natural instincts because they do not have God's Spirit in them. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring to you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourselves safe in God's love." You've been listening to the book of Jude chapter 1, as we've been reading through the Word of God. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession, as we normally do before we end the broadcast. If you are listening today and you've never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a good day, a great day to make that very, very important decision. If you'd like to make that step today, would you simply from your heart pray this prayer of salvation with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, by faith, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. We'd like to communicate with you. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We'd like to share with you some, let us know that you made that step, and we would like to share with you some literature and resource materials that'll help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the email joseph@afr.net. We definitely hope to hear from you. If you wanted to get a copy of the article entitled, Are You Praying Psalm 91 Every Day? Or the article entitled, Kingdom Prayers, please, again, same email, get in touch with us, joseph@afr.net. We look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.